This is a special time of the year. Some folks get involved in the matter of the festivities of the season, but it is our desire to exalt the Lord Jesus. It's all about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, in the Gospel of John, and let's look at John chapter number 1. I am thankful for this opportunity. I had a message that I'd worked on yesterday and last night and planned to preach it this morning, and I couldn't get liberty to do it, and so I had to just follow what the Lord wanted for the service. And so if you'll notice with me tonight, in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That was in the beginning. Let me get the paper clip out of here. In the beginning. And he said, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." I am grateful for the fact of the availability, the prospect of all men coming to know Christ. And again, he said, even to them that believe on his name. I believe this book, do you? There's folks said, "Well, you know, there's more to it than believing." Well, I believe has to be repentance and faith. But believe, it's a matter of trust in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't put us on probation. When we came as bankrupt sinners, we recognized our lostness, and by faith we trusted him. We trusted Jesus, and he saved our soul. So we've got something to celebrate tonight. It's not about the festivity. It's not about you. It's not about experiences. It's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I suggest to you that he was virgin born. Notice in verse 11, "He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'd like to preach a little while tonight, if the Lord enables me to, on the pre-existent Christ. Listen, he had no beginning. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God. I'm thankful for that. Would you pray with us? Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for our church family. I thank you for our pastor. Thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And I pray tonight for those that are out because of sickness, that you'd touch them and give them healing. I do pray, Lord, that you'd bless those families across the land that's in sorrow tonight because of the loss of loved ones, that you might comfort them, that you might strengthen them. And I pray that you'd draw our attention back to the pre-existent Christ. I'm grateful that in him we live and move and have our being. We thank you for the very breath we breathe is a gift of God. So I pray that you'd help us tonight to be a vessel that would be meet for the Master's use, and I pray that you'd work in us, that you might work through us, and what you do, we'll praise you for. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. We have four Gospels and four Gospel records, and it's certainly not to furnish a biography for approximately 29 years was omitted from the Savior's life. Actually, the Holy Spirit had the presentation of four personality portraits of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're given only that which contributes to the main theme is included. And so Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, presents Jesus Christ as a son of David, as such the heir of Israel's throne. He's the king of the Jews. Amen. And then Mark presents him as a servant of Jehovah, the perfect workman of God. Luke presents him and his humanity of our Savior. He's a perfect man in contrast to sinful man. And then John presents him, the deity of Christ, and his purpose is given. Notice with me the 20th chapter, if you would please, the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. And let's look at verse number 30 and verse number 31. And the Bible said this in verse number 30. He said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might," what? "That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." It's not by something we do as an outward work, but it's by faith we're trusting Christ. He's the only Savior. I'm saying to you, he was virgin born and he lived a virgin life. There's no sin in him. And by the way, if he could sin, you have no Savior. So let me say tonight, in Gethsemane's garden, transfiguration and the temptation was omitted in John. Therefore, he begins with Christ in eternity, and then he introduces him in relation to our human relationships. And so the title begins with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the Greek to the Greek philosophers, this title was used of ultimate intelligence, the controlling reason of the universe, which gave meaning to things. But here's what John uses the term and then identifies him as the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say, the Word, it meant deity expressing itself in all the terms. It's told out in John's gospel again. If you'll notice with me, John chapter 1 and verse number 18. Here's what the Bible said. And it said, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." He hath spoke him forth. He has illustrated the Word. He's the Word. He is, I say again, the Word meant deity expressing itself in audible terms, are the Word being told out. And then the Word, he's God's alphabet. I'm saying this, complete, all God is going to say is in this book. Somebody said, listen, God gave me a revelation. No. God gave you a full revelation. It's called the King James Bible. We don't add to it. We don't take from it. And you don't get saved one way back in the Old Testament time and another way in the day of grace and another way in the day of tribulation. No. We're saved by grace through faith plus nothing, minus nothing. Why? Because of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the one that we lift up. It's not the matter of a notice with me again. The Word is God's alphabet, complete, and all God is going to say in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And so the Word is God's final spokesman. I see it. Notice with me the book of Hebrews, if you would, please. In Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll back it up just a little bit. Hebrews chapter number 1. And we'll look at Hebrews chapter number 1. And when I find it. Hebrews chapter number 1. And I'm looking at verse 1 and 2. Of Hebrews chapter 1. Here's what the Bible said. Paul, no, that's Titus. Let's get to Hebrews. He said, God, who at sundries times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so I'm reminded of this, that it is knowing God in Jesus Christ or not knowing him at all. We're knowing God, and by the way, just one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's a lot of folks that celebrate this time of year as a holiday. Can I say to you, the birth of Christ was a holy day, and you and I ought to be worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I see that in, first of all, the word's relation to time. It is eternal. The word is eternal. In the beginning was the word. Before creation's beginning, he was there, for he is the creator. I'm reminded again in John 1, he said in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so be reminded that before creation's beginning, he was there, for he is the creator. And so we go back as far as your mind can go, and there he is, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back as far as your mind can go, he's there, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. You don't have to have a law degree to understand the Bible. You have to have the Spirit of God that interprets our relationship with the Lord. Can I say to you, being born again is a relationship that's settled forever. When you get saved by the good grace of God, you're saved forever. It's eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so I say, nature reveals his natural attributes such as power and wisdom and immutability. His word is a revelation of holiness. Amen. It's a revelation of mercy, revelation of grace, and revelation of truth and love. I'm thankful that I have the word, the written word, but I'm grateful that I have the living word that lives in me and lives in you if you know Christ as Savior. So the word's relation to time is eternal. In the beginning was the word. And then again, notice me, prophecy of his coming speaks of eternity. You can read it back in Micah chapter 5, verse 1 and verse number 2. He gave himself, he himself claimed to be preexistent. Notice when the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter number 8, and let's look at verse number 58, I believe I'm right. John chapter 8 and verse number 58, and here's what the Bible said. He said, and he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. I'm talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so again, we find prophecy of his coming. It speaks of eternity in Micah 5, 1 and 2. But he claimed himself to be preexistent in John 8, 58. And the glory, he says, speaks of the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world in the book of John chapter 17 and verse number 5. And so for in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible said, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. I'm grateful that child was born. Amen. But that wasn't his beginning. Oh, no, no. He was present before the foundation of the world. He's present before the creation. I'm saying to you, the word's relationship to time is eternal. But then again, secondly, the word's relationship to the Godhead. There's equality. One God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all are equally God. Not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But listen, they're one. And so Paul writing, he said, put it down. That there's just one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And if you go to heaven, you go to heaven God's way.
And listen, if you're going to serve him, it'll be in the power that God gives. I'm saying, God, help us to realize this. The Word's relation to the Godhead. You can't place the Son of God lower than God on the level with any other. Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for David, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Oh, Dr. Lakin said, if old Pete knew what one cost, he wouldn't want to build three. I'm saying, listen, I'm grateful for who he is. The scriptures makes him equal. In 1 John, read this with me. In 1 John chapter number 2, in 1 John chapter 2, and here's what the Bible said. 1 John chapter number 2, and I'm looking, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 23. And the Bible said in verse number 23, he said, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So we are grateful that we have access into the throne room of glory because of the Word. Jesus said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. And by the way, that's what we need to be beholding today, the glory of our God. Not tinsels, not lights, not festivities, but Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And he's the one worthy of our praise and our honor. I say the Son taught it. He's equal in his workings. In John chapter 5, notice with me John chapter 5, and let's read John 5 in verse number 39. John chapter 5 in verse 19, I should say. For John chapter 5, verse number 19, and the Bible says it this way. He said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. They're co-equal, no matter, equal in their workings. Somebody said, well, you know, God started working down in our church. We're grateful for the movement of God. I want to say to you, God's always been working down at the church. I'm praying in my life and in my ministry that there'll be a greater manifestation of God's working in our lives. I want that, don't you? I'm saying to you, don't you want God to work in your life, that he might work through your life and touch the lives of others that do not know Christ? I'm saying to you, what a wonderful blessing it would be if somebody would come to know him, whom to know right is life eternal. It's not the matter of exchanging of gifts. It's not the matter of recognizing, listen, family gatherings. It's a matter of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Equal in working. He's equal in knowledge. I find it in verse number 20 of John chapter 5. The Bible said in verse number 20, he said, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. He said he's equal in working, he's equal in knowledge, but he's also equal in resurrection. Notice verse 21 of John 5. He said, and for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He brings to life. He brings him out. There's resurrection power in the Word. And then there's equal in judgment. Notice, if you would, verse 22. The Bible said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He's equal in judgment. And then he's equal in honor. In verse 23, he said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And so we're not separating the two. They're one and the same. They're equal. But there's just one God manifest in three persons. You understand that? And then again, they're equal in regeneration. In John chapter 5 and verse number 25, the Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hallelujah. They that hear shall live. And it's equal in self-existence. In verse 26, the Bible said this. He said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I'm talking about the Word's relationship to the Godhead. And again, there's equality there. The Father the Father wants and places preeminence upon the Word. And then number three, notice with me, number three, the Word's relation to the Trinity. God, the Word of God, the Revealer of God. God, the Word of God, the Revealer of God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the book of Colossians, if you notice with me, Colossians chapter number 2. In Colossians chapter 2, I call your attention to Colossians 2, and we're going to look at verse number 9 when I find Colossians. This Bible, I've been preaching out of it for probably 35 years, and when I first got it, it was difficult to keep the pages, but now they've been spit on so many times, it's still difficult for me to keep all the pages straight. In Colossians chapter 2, I'm almost there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible said, for in Him dwelleth all, how much? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. God has a Word for us, and we have it written for us in this Bible. And so the Word's relation to the Trinity. God, the Word was God, and the Revealer of God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The prophecy and fulfillment in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 7. Notice with me this. These familiar passages of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 7, and we're looking at verse number 14. Isaiah 7 and 14, and the Bible reads this way. Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, not a young woman. Behold, a virgin. If it's not a virgin, he's not a Savior. I'm saying, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I'm grateful that God's not in a Head Start program and you get saved and He kind of pushes you toward heaven and you make it the best way you can. Oh no, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm grateful for the abiding presence of God in our life. And so I see again the Word's relationship to the Trinity is prophesied and fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1, Pastor, I shared the thought that he preached this morning from Matthew chapter number 1. And let me just reference a passage in the same chapter. In Matthew chapter 1, I'm looking at verse number 23. The Bible said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It is God with us. Now, it's the Word's relation to the Trinity is expressed by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'm looking at John chapter 10 and verse number 33. John 10 and verse number 33, and the Bible reads this, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. He is expressed by the Lord Jesus Christ and receives worship by man. What we worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And in Matthew's gospel again, notice with me in Matthew chapter 4. Fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'm looking at verse number 10. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, and the Bible reads this way. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We're not worshiping angels. We're not worshiping religion. We're worshiping a person, and He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said again, it received worship by man, worshiping God. And then worshiping God's reverence again, the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 8 and verse number 9. But it's in John chapter 20. Notice with me, John chapter 20, and we're looking at verse number 26. In John chapter 20 and verse number 26, the Bible reads this way. He said, and after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And so he's recognizing my Lord and my God. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Could I say, we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 5. Let me relate to this passage here. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 5, the scripture said, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus is. It's not Jesus was or Jesus will be. Jesus is the Son of God. How grateful we are for the fact of knowing that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we have the verse, the verse that we know so well, and we heard since we were just babes in Christ, preached to us before we got saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not life until I sin again. I'm saying to you, when you get born again by the Word of God, God changes your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, if there was not a change, then you didn't get salvation. I'm not your judge. I'm not your inspector, but I say on the authority of the Word of God, when you get born again, you get changed. And the more you walk with God, the greater the changes will be. And his goal is to do what? To conform us to the image of his dear Son. And so my life is different. I have a different aim. I have a different goal. I have a different purpose in life. And I'm thankful that that's still burning in my soul today. I want God to be glorified in and through my life. And so in the beginning, that's an expression of action. For God so loved the world. It was in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. That, hey, thank God we've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. And I'm thankful for how God has worked in our life. The Word of God, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God. Jesus said this. He said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so the expression of action, for God so loved the love of God, the songwriter said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. I'm thankful that, listen, we didn't know about love much in my home. I was raised up, I never recall my father ever saying to my mom, I love you. I never remember hearing my mom saying to my dad, I love you. I mean, there was expressions of love. We knew in our heart that there was a love there. But listen, I'm grateful. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love him tonight because he first loved me. And God so loved the world that included me, that I might have life and have it more abundantly, that I might have something to glory in. And it's not in men and it's not in me, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an extraordinary in choice, for God so loved the world, and there's no limitations there. I hear folk talking about, even today, they're talking about, listen, folks getting saved a different way in another dispensation of time. Listen, that's heresy. If a person got saved in the Old Testament, it's by grace through faith. Got saved in their grace, it's by grace through faith. And if it gets saved in the tribulation, it'll be by grace through faith. I'm reminded that the Spirit of God will be taken out in the indwelling sense in the tribulation, but the Spirit of God is the convictor, and no one ever got saved apart from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. I say to you, it's extraordinary in the matter of choice. God loved the whole world, no limit. God loves that man. God loves that man that's living in such a depths of sin that it's repulsive to us. God still loves sinners, and we're grateful for that. God doesn't love sin. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. And you and I ought to love sinners. Why? Because if they don't get saved by the grace of God, they'll spend a Christless eternity in the place called hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, I thank God, based upon the word of God, I'm not going there. Notice with me again, it was expensive. The gift of God, the greatest gift, was expensive in sacrifice. And John 10, verse 17 and 18, it said, no man hath the power to take my life from me. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again. Listen, that he gave, listen, expensive in the sacrifice, he gave his only begotten son that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. It's extensive in offer whosoever. For whosoever. That's what kind of burnt in my soul the night I got saved. The Spirit of God whispered in my ear. He said, whosoever will may come. I said, I believe I will. Listen, there's nobody living today is worth going to hell for. I say to you the matter of come to him. Come while you can. Come now. The Bible said, come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal. You'll have the greatest Christmas you ever have known in your life if you'll come to him. It's expensive in sacrifice, but it's intensive in the offer. The matter for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so now, God's not giving out a head start pass just to get you started. No. He who began that work in you will continue to work in you to accomplish his purpose and his will. It's exclusive in judgment or in bestowment. I said in John chapter 5, and this is such a familiar verse, but in John chapter 5, notice with me if you would please, this good verse in verse number 24. The Bible said in John 5 and verse number 24, he says it this way. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so when you pass from death unto life, when you've been made alive in the Lord Jesus, God gives us a new appetite. The matter of going to church will not be a chore anymore. It's a matter of, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. And we know we pass from death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. It's because of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I say it's exclusive in bestowment. It's to those who believe. Paul and Silas is in jail at midnight, and they've been beaten with many stripes, and they're singing praises unto God. I heard W. Jack Hudson said, I think maybe that when they got to sing an Amazing Grace, that God joined in on the chorus and it caused a great earthquake. I'm not sure about that, but I'm saying they're singing praises unto God. They've just been beaten with many stripes. Could I say to you, they were not sitting in a corner saying, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. No, they're giving praise unto God. And that Philippian jailer is ready to take his own life. And he came in and fell before them and said, sirs, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You believe that? I believe that. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't put us on probation for 6 years. And I'm saying, I'm visiting and I'm knocking on the door and I'm asking folk about their church involvement. And they said, well, we're looking for a church. And I said, well, how long have you lived here? Well, we've just been here 20 years. And so I know that they was looking for a church, about like the thief is looking for the policeman. No. It's a matter of this. When you get saved, God gives you an appetite for the things of the Lord. God gives you, and by the way, that appetite is whetted and fine-tuned. And after being saved over 63 years and preaching over 58 years, there's still, listen, God working in us, and he's trying to fine-tune my life to be more like him, to tell the world that there is a way out, to tell the world that there's an answer to their question, to tell the world that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's exceptional in his work, the work of the Word. Exceptional in its work. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God does not want sinners to go to hell. The hell is the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go there, you go there by choice, not by chance. I'm saying to you, you don't have to go to hell. God has provided a way that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody said, I'd like to know. I'll tell you how you know. You know by the Word of God. You know by the Spirit of the living God. And it's the fact that I can't do some of the things I once did because I've been born again by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It's exceptional work. And so we've been delivered, been set free. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise God, you got something to shout about, something to glory in, for the Word that was made flesh and dwell among us. Notice him again, the eternal benefit. He said this, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody said, if I believe that, I'd live any way I wanted to. No, if you believe that, you'd want to please God. It's a matter of recognize this, but have everlasting life. That's present tense. That you understand, it begins the second that we trust Jesus as our personal Savior. And listen, nowhere in this Bible do you find anybody as an illustration that was saved two times. Just one time will do. I've been to Calvary, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, changed my life, gave me a life because the Word in the beginning was the Word. It's a present possession, but it is a permanent possession. My older brother died not long ago, and he said he got saved. I believe he gave evidence of knowing Christ as his personal Savior, but then he got away from God. He's been away from God for years. And I talked to him. In fact, just a few days before he died, I said, I want to know for sure that you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior and you know that heaven's your home. He said, I would delight if the Lord would take me home tonight. And by the way, he did pass on. And I want to say, I would rather tell you tonight that my brother lived a glowing life for God, obedient to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people. Listen, when you got saved, and when he got saved, his flesh didn't get saved. It's still as wicked as it ever was. Listen, it's still flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And it'll always be. And listen, those which are born of the Spirit, it will always be that way. Born again by the good grace of our God. And so I'm reminded that the Bible said, in the beginning, that's before the foundation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he said it this way. He said the fact the same was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. It wasn't an afterthought. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. And I see this, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Listen, that all men through him might believe. He's interested in you believing. And so we glory not in tinsel and not in celebration and not in tradition, but we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we know in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's powerful. It's dynamite. That's why Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus Christ can save our loved ones, but he'll never save one that doesn't want to be saved. And he'll never take anybody to heaven, anybody that doesn't want to go to heaven. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a land that's fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. I'm grateful for the promises of our God. Grateful for who he is and what he's doing in our hearts and lives. I exhort you today, if you do not know him, come to Christ tonight. Don't wait till next service. Don't wait till next time. Come as you are. Come trusting Jesus as your Savior, acknowledging your lost condition. You've got to be lost before you can get saved. But if you come as a lost sinner, listen, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for listening. Would you bow with us in prayer? Pastor's coming. Father, bless, I pray, the word. Thank you for the gospel of John. And thank you for these wonderful truths. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd make application. Help us to be burdened about those who do not know Christ. And I pray that you might help us to point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I pray for those who might be in our midst tonight that are battling their relationship with the Lord. I pray that you'd make it clear to them. And help them, dear Lord, not to depend upon flesh, but to trust the Spirit of God to guide them into all truth. Pray that they'd be saved before it's eternally too late. And for those of us who are saved, I pray that you'd burden our heart about getting the gospel, doing our part of letting the light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Bless our pastor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.